okay? Quiet in the studio, and I mean quiet in the studio. Here we go. Mark, don't do that. Well, good evening, good night, goodbye. Lovely to have you here with us. We'll see you next week. Oh, that was just the joke. Say hello, Stats.
Wasn't that funny, but anyway, yeah, hello. Hello, y'all. Oh, I can't forget our lovely listeners. Hope they're all doing well.
Okay.
He's calmed down a bit this week, hasn't he?
Say what?
He's calmed down a bit this week.
Who's calmed down? Stats.
You.
Me.
No, you.
Oh, no, no, no. Stats is the one at the moment with the bladder that has developed a heater because something is boiling in there, I can tell you. Say hello, Gazelle.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, for another week of delightful entertainment.
Indeed. And it will be entertaining. And here is the chief entertainer. It is the Raven. Flap those wings, sir. Flap those wings.
Oh, hello. Good evening, gentlemen, ladies, and all.
Oh, there you go. So,
you're very entertaining. Want to tell you about my trip to the doctors today?
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
I'm not sure we want to hear this.
No, I'll tell you a little bit later.
All right, okay.
I'd rather do a welfare check now, Trevor. Can you tell us, please, what's wrong with you? Assuming, of course, it's legible to broadcast.
It is legible to broadcast. It's just that, well, it's about a trait in my family, actually, that, you know, we've all been born a certain way, which I'll explain a little bit later anyway.
Okay. You haven't got any particular growths or anything like that, like horns coming out of a certain spot?
Yeah, actually, you're nearly there, actually. And obviously, with you being a musician, Jonathan, you'll actually get the full gist of this when I mention it a little bit later.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's move on straight away to the roundup. Before Trevor gets the horn. Okay.
Something to do with donkeys.
All right. Okay. First one. Angela Rayner could face a police probe into false claims over addresses before she sold her council home.
Now, tell you what, they're good at that, Labour, aren't they?
Are they? Aren't they just? Labour's deputy leader appeared to have given two different addresses. And so the calls are mounting for Angela Rayner to face a police probe into whether she provided false information about her living circumstances before she sold her former council home. And this is a story from the Daily Mail. Now, who could believe that the deputy leader of the Labour Party could do something like that?
Not me.
Well, the Tories have.
It would be so stupid.
Yes. Well, the Tories have because they've written to Greater Manchester Police to demand an investigation after Labour's deputy leader appeared to have given two different addresses in official documents.
Are the Conservative Party as keen to have an investigation into billions of pounds of PPE contracts at all?
No. That isn't going to happen.
Look over there. Someone's put two addresses down.
Yeah, look at Angela Rayner's.
Angela Rayner's. Don't we get fed up of this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to get fed up even more. I'm telling you now, you're going to start feeling something is boiling in there. Because the Church of England parishes are told to set up race action plans after the first black female bishop urges the institution to embrace being woke. I mean, I thought they already embraced it.
Hang on. They're denying there's anything called woke. They said we made it all up to start a culture war. God, yep. I wish these fruitcakes would make their minds up what day it is.
And they are fruitcakes. There's no two ways about it.
I see. When they're losing on a certain front in the culture war, yep. What woke doesn't exist?
Well, they're losing in every I don't know, category, aren't they? Because Disney's just announced that Diane Abbott's standing in for a new Snow White.
And talking about Disney World, the Home Office sacks Borders Inspector after he voiced concerns about hundreds of high-risk aircraft landings in Britain without security checks. The man was doing his job.
No, you can't do your job anymore. You've got to get cancelled.
He's highlighting the fact that people are dropping in out of the sky now as well as in boats. So we don't want to
They're not checking the planes?
No.
I mean, that's bad news. That really is bad news. I mean, we are breaking down as Britain. Here's a funny one. Gary Lineker reveals Paul Gascoigne's disgusting habit in England team's communal bath, which he did multiple times for forcing teammates to quickly evacuate. Now, has anybody got an idea what it was that he did?
A number one or a two?
It was a number two. That's right. Oh, there you go.
It's going to be a number one.
Yeah. Oh, what a, that's grotesque. That is bad. That is really,
is
really
that what's
bad.
What's made Gary Lineker what Gary Lineker is now?
Oh. Yeah, that's why he's full of it.
I'm telling you. And here's one for Trevor. And I know that you're going to like this one, sir. Bankrupt Birmingham City Council needs $1.25 billion bailout to keep all its services running. As it reveals, it will hike council tax 21% over 2 years, whilst dimming
21%
whilst dimming streetlights and filling in fewer potholes in a desperate bid to save money.
Filling in fewer potholes, so that means none then?
None.
And if they're struggling, we can easily lend them $1.3 billion. That's nothing in our
Go for it, Trevor. Get Warrington Council in on a job. I mean, what is $1.8 billion? What's another half billion to help out Birmingham?
I'll get round. I'll start filling some potholes in for them. I'll get some stuff. I'll get a bit of soil. And then I'll lend them the money as well if they're stuck.
Really?
It's nothing to us. We just keep adding it on.
Well,
$2 billion, $8 billion, $9 billion. What's that? It's nothing.
I have to tell you, here's the best story of the day. You ready? A French imam called the French flag satanic, and he had his residency permit cancelled after living in the country since the 1980s, and is deported to North Africa. How about that? The French beating us again.
One down, plenty more to go.
I mean, you couldn't make it up, could you? I mean, it's great.
France getting it right again.
Indeed. Well, they're getting a lot tougher on those people than we are.
We just let them in, give them whatever they want.
Well,
are you sure he's gone to Africa or has he come here?
No.
That's a good question. If not, he'd be here soon enough.
Isn't it the same thing now?
It's hard to tell the difference, yeah.
Right, okay, let's move on to the national. And this is one for the boiling bladder. The man that is, the legend, Mr. Stats. Sir, Labour and the fake Conservatives double down on their complete and utter treachery by continuing to go after the symptoms rather than the disease. Go ahead, sir. You explain, open it up, and then we'll get in on there with you.
Well, I'll try and stay calm, if I can. This is kind of following on from last week's mess, which we briefly discussed in our thought for the day, didn't we?
That's right.
A speaker row, but it's escalated. So rather than facing up to the problem, which there clearly is because they're all petrified of it, which is what caused all that kerfuffle last week, I'm being nice with kerfuffle, but now they're going after the likes of Lee Anderson. So again, here... It's either pure stupidity or, at worst, pure cowardice. I mean, as if they're all doubling down by attacking the symptoms again. They're just going to keep ignoring the elephant in the room, which is funny because that hasn't really worked so far, has it? But I suppose it's easier, isn't it, to start and get rid of Lee and cancel him than face the music.
Well, he definitely wouldn't apologise.
Standard practice now, cancelling hated people in this country.
Does Steve, but they're pretending that it's all a dream, mate. And that whole thing last week and all this stuff, it's just not going on. They are that terrified, Steve, of this ideology, mate, that, look, the public aren't deaf and dumb and blind. We can see exactly what's going on.
Well, it's not just that. It's about the fact that they're closing down debate, closing down anybody who questions anything. We've got the, the Border Force chief sacked for raising another issue that's not being addressed. And then, of course, we have situations where we don't talk about anything at all to the point that people are ostracised in society, to be quite frank.
Well, that's
and
the reason...
Thing, sorry, John, just to quickly adding into that, into the mix of our new police state called the UK, which is, we've now got police forces encouraging the public to snitch on each other and report each other for parking and things like that. The whole ideology about where we're going in terms of how we operate as a country is very much reminiscent of East Germany back in the day.
Well, the point I was going to be making before I was so rudely interrupted with a good point, I have to say, it was a good point you made there, Raven. Not very often that you get a compliment from me, but
no, it's rare.
The words that people are utilizing, like racist and Islamophobic, are meant to control the narrative and dampen down any criticism of that narrative. And I, for one, am not going to have it. I'm not going to agree with it at all. If anybody wants to call me a racist, fine. That's fine. If they want to call me Islamophobic, that's equally fine. But let's argue it out on the points. Because please tell me, anybody, what other religion was the religion that was intimidating the MPs that Lindsay Hoyle referred to? Was it the Jews? Was it the Christians? No. It was the supporters of Hamas and Palestine, who are predominantly Muslims, who are predominantly Islamists. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, it's just terrible. I mean, what Lee Anderson said, maybe he didn't say it correctly. What he should have said is, we've got a massive problem and it needs stopping now. You've got the Muslim vote movement. Now, this is, people have heard of this. They're trying to take the seats off Labour. It's totally unconstitutional. According to our coronation oath and the Bill of Rights, no foreign power is meant to rule over us. It's that simple. That's the whole point of it. And we've also got the leader of the Muslim vote was the leader of the now banned Hizb ut-Tahrir in England, Mohammed Hilal.
Yeah.
In his words, wants a global caliphate and believes the West are his enemies. So Lee Anderson has got a point. We have got a problem. And their main aim is to put Muslim issues first. Sorry, totally against the Constitution again. Not allowed, shouldn't be stopped. Then you've got Ben Jamal, the director of Palestine Solidarity Campaign. Now, he's on stage condoning and actually inciting more intimidation of elected representatives. Now, what Lee should have said is, we need strong leaders to fix this. Now, they should be held accountable, these people, on the Treason Felony Act 1848, which actually says...
Do illustrate, sir.
In order to put any force or constraint upon or in order to intimidate or overawe both houses or either House of Parliament. So I think those two people should be held by this, as should Lindsay Hoyle, Sir Keir Starmer, the mobs outside people's houses, the mobs outside Parliament, anyone. Enough's enough now. These people who are confronting people in the street, we've got to get it fixed. And if these politicians aren't going to do it, then move out the way and let some other people come in and do it. Because enough's enough.
Well, you've got to say the same.
It's clear that they're not going to fix this. So it's going to be down to the people. And the people have got every right to defend their country, their customs, their property, their religion. When the people appointed to do so, do not.
Yes.
That's what he should have said, rather than trying to point score with the Mayor of London because he's Labour. Get to the point and tell the facts, because no one's blind. We can see what's going on.
Well, in my opinion, I think Starmer is going to have to deal with Khan. There's going to be some reining in of the powers that guy's got. No, I think it is going to happen, because if you can pull out your support for somebody, a candidate, at the very last minute, literally at the very last minute, so that you have no Labour candidate to actually vote for, then I think there's a plus there with Starmer. I think he's trying his very, very best to remove all vestiges of anti-Semitism from the party. He's trying his very best, but it's not enough.
Jonathan. A big but, in my opinion.
Massive.
I mean, the bloke basically needs to grow up. Whenever he gets into a tricky situation, he flip-flops. That's exactly what he did again over this Islamic thing.
Yep.
Now, for him, it's easier for him to tackle somebody like a candidate in Rochdale than it is to actually tackle Khan. He hasn't got what you need to tackle Khan. And you've got Lee Anderson there. You had Goldsmith. He basically used the same words about 4 years ago when he was standing against Khan. What happened to him? Nothing. You've got Sue Ellen there, and she said virtually the same words. I can't see much difference.
It's because she didn't mention Khan by name and his religion, but Lee did. So they've jumped on anything they can, Trev, for this Islamophobia nonsense.
Yeah, well, I mean, but anyway.
Well, tell me he wasn't speaking for the majority.
Of course he was speaking for the majority. He was.
And also, he's got the presence of mind not to apologise for the job.
Yeah, good on him.
Well,
he's kind of said he should have used better words, didn't he, Trev? But
yeah,
no
yeah,
apology was given, though.
No apology, no.
No, he's not given any apology as yet, anyway. And you've got Liz Truss over there. She's covered in all sorts of controversy.
Oh, I love it. What is she saying? Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon was introducing her to a spot outside CPAC in the States. And basically, he was leading her on, saying that, so you have a possibility of a jihadist MP.
Yeah, but John, it was the fact he mentioned Tommy Robinson's name in there and called him a hero. And then what happened is Liz Truss agreed with what he said, but I don't think she was agreeing to that. She was agreeing to the jihadist part in the election. But you know what these wet wipes are like? They've pulled out someone's name who they think they can get to, you know. Oh, it's just, it's so frustrating.
Tommy Robinson is a hero, though, because this guy actually was warning people about the takeover of Islam over democracy in this country. He did actually warn about it.
You mean the very people these politicians are now actually fearful of?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Isn't it funny?
Much, he's probably further ahead than anybody on that.
Yeah.
You've got Liz Truss there doing all these controversial speeches. And they're actually, I mean, so basically you've got Sue, I call her Sue Ellen anyway, Ellen Brahman. Nothing's happened to her. You've got, now they're actually starting to mention about Truss at the minute, whether they're going to withdraw the whip off Truss.
Yeah, that won't happen.
No, I totally agree with you, and I don't think it is. And again, they're all frightened to death, as Mark said earlier on, that my words exactly are the elephant in the room, which are the Islamic fanatics. They are frightened to death of speaking their own minds. You've got Labour continually at the fake cons are continually at Labour instead of dealing with the issue.
The elephant in the room, as Stats has said before.
They're not dealing with it. Now, you've not heard a sausage, have you, off the Dodo Party?
Nope.
You've heard nothing off them, the Lib Dums. They're just sitting on a fence with a bum load of splinters, a lot of them.
Or the Glib Dems.
The Glib Dems, you call them what you want. Now, we've got 7.5% of the population are actually Muslim. So why, again, I ask this question continually.
Why are they getting so much?
Why are the minority ruling our democracy in this country?
Correct.
It's fear, plain and simple. They are petrified. And it's easier to just quieten the symptoms down rather than deal with the actual problem.
Well, no, it's got to be dealt with, hasn't it, Mark? It's got to be dealt with. It's got to be dealt with.
Trev, we've just given them it, mate. We've got a constitution here to deal with all this stuff. It's quite simple. I found it myself in 5 minutes. If someone's got the backbone and the spine to put this into action, then treason it is, and all the people who are literally defending them. It's a joke. But what we need to do is we need to stop just saying Labour and Conservative. Now we need to nail on names we can pass on to our children and grandchildren to tell them who's responsible for this.
If it goes the wrong way and say, yeah, it was those. Yeah, I agree with you.
We'll start doing that, I think, now.
Go ahead, Steve.
I think there's a big issue here in the fact that in our so-called free democratic nation, which is a complete nonsense of a statement in itself, we've now got a situation where we've got elected members of parliament increasingly becoming afraid to open their mouths for fear of being vilified and speaking the truth or having the idea that they can have open debate.
And your point is supported regarding open debate by Lindsay Hoyle's statement about the safety of the members.
That's the point I'm making here, because
he's got to go in. Gotta go.
The ethos of a free democratic nation is that the people elected are supposedly an echo chamber of the views of the people who elected them.
Yeah.
However, that's increasingly not the case for various other reasons. But if we've got elected representatives who cannot or will not, for fear, openly express and represent concerns of the people in many ways on many subjects, then we've hit rock bottom. And we've actually hit a very dangerous stage in this country's future. Because what's being laid as a foundation for the future right now is the very basis of a new future for our grandchildren and our children going forward. And that is one where they cannot have open debates, they cannot be represented, and they will be told how to live. That ethos already appears to be set in motion by way of intimidation. The question ultimately is, how will it ultimately arrive, and what will the finished article be if processes of intimidation to suppress free speech are enshrined in political policy making?
That would be called Sharia law. Go ahead, Mark.
And treason, which you keep repeating, but Steve's just hit the nail on the head. What happens when people lose the ability to speak out about a problem that is blatantly obvious to the majority of the public? What options left? If these people think that these Islamists, whatever you want to call them, these pro-Palestine people are terrifying, I will wait till the natives en masse discover what you're doing to this country. I don't think they're going to like that either.
Well, remember, I'm not
condoning any violence, John, but that's the last thing I want.
83% of this country is white.
And plus, we're in our lawful right to criticise a religion, especially one which is causing the problems it is. Section 29J of the Religious and Racial Hatred Act allows us to do such.
And yet, name me were any of these people, like, for example, in Rochdale, were there any Christian rape gangs? Were there any Jewish rape gangs? No. Which segment of society were they from? I'm sorry, but it's a straight fact.
There's been a few gangs of paedophiles and stuff who've been white. You might get one every 3 or 4 years, and the lefties love to cling on to that one for as long as they can. But it's not a weekly occurrence, is it, for the last 40 years?
It wasn't.
It's not to the extent that we've seen.
No. But, like, we've got to start naming names. And like Steve said, the people who are sitting by and letting this happen. I know the governments have caused a lot of this, but the opposition. Well, they haven't put up much of an opposition. So maybe we should start looking.
We should start having a go at them.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to get rid of them.
Okay, Steve, go ahead.
Interesting question to put to all of our MPs across the country, and maybe starting in Cheshire, is what are you doing to protect the Indigenous Christian heritage for our children and our grandchildren? What are you actively doing in relation to this?
And what are you doing, Met Police, by beaming from the river to the sea across Big Ben, one of the most iconic landmarks in this country? I mean, who the hell do they think they are? And why did the Met consider it okay to allow that to happen? Somebody should be held to account at the Met. Go ahead, Mark, and let's wrap this up.
Yeah, maybe we should move on to the local, and then we'll look at exactly who is standing up to this and what are they doing, or more like what they're not doing. And we'll look at what some of our local MPs have been saying on this issue the last week or so, and what they've done in the past about all this.
Okay. Well, let's wrap that up then and move it on. So we now know that we all have the ability to boil things in our bladders regarding that subject.
Yeah, to stay calm, because I'm furious with this, to be honest, but I'm just trying to stay calm.
You're looking calm.
While they're all having a hissy fit and wetting their pants because they're petrified,
yep.
I think it's time like people like us stepped up.
Without a shadow of a doubt, and called it as it is.
Who's going to fix all this eventually? It's not going to be these cowards, is it?
No.
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 We'll end up bricking them in Parliament like the French farmers have done.
Oh, they get it so right over in France. I mean, the way that they...
Well, I don't know. The wall was shocking. They should be thankful it wasn't builders they've upset. Kick that wall down.
It wasn't a very good wall, was it? But it was a wall.
Yeah, it'll do.
Okay, well then, let's move on to the local. And we know that this is quite contentious. And we're going to say our local MPs hide from extremist threat and continue their party political bickering. Can we just say, quote-unquote, absolute state of them?
Yes.
Okay, Stats, you're going to open this up. Come on, because I know it's there.
The Gazelle's right? Got something. He looks like he's chewing a wasp.
Oh, go on then, Gazelle. Do you want to go first? Go on.
No, it's just my MP. I'm not even going to repeat what she said. It's just a spiel, which is about, I don't know, an A4 long.
Sheet of rhetoric is the words you are looking for.
Sheet of rhetoric. I don't know. I'll just cut it all
sheet.
In. I'll just give my opinion on it. She said that she would have broken the whip to support the SNP.
Wasn't she on a debate?
Yeah, the other night.
Granada.
Now, something I've tried to find out about this, Stats might, well, Stats, I don't know if you can help me or not, but
I'll try.
She said, when I was in my synagogue, I haven't seen this debate, I'll tell you that now. I'm not really interested. I mean, I have to keep my eye on her, but I didn't actually watch that particular debate on Granada, but she was mentioning that when she was in a synagogue. Now, I'm not sure of any synagogues. I'm not aware of any in Warrington. So whether she meant she was in London at the time, which I would probably have said that might have been the position, but I don't know anyway. So she said she would have broken the whip to support the SNP. Now, that's another woulda, coulda, shoulda on that, because I've checked on this and she hasn't voted against the whip ever.
No.
So take that as you find it. It's easy to say, I would have, I could have, I should have. But anyway, then she just runs the speaker spiel about allowing more vote choices again. Make your mind up about that. Nothing to do with that. It was all on her side again.
Everything about her.
It was Labour who disrupted that. It was Labour who supposedly had a word with the Speaker, who is supposedly independent, who was a Labour MP. So again, make your mind up. I've made my own mind up. And now we're up at 80 MPs that have called, that have given a vote of no confidence against him. Now, last time this happened, can't remember exactly when, but it was a long time ago, and there was only 22 MPs that went against the Speaker, and he had to go.
Wow.
And now we've got 80. This is just telling you, this is just showing you the sign of the times that nobody is accountable anymore.
Yeah.
No.
No.
22 MPs. I can't remember the speaker it was. 22 MPs, and he had to go. And this time, that Hoyle again, he's just not going.
Treason, mate.
I mean, and I'd put out this statement, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. Just stop Hoyle.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a good one, that one.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, two things. First of all, the speaker, I'm with Trevor on this, in the sense that, to be quite frank, it's a blatant example, first of all, of how public life is now totally unaccountable. Doesn't matter what you do, you can carry on as normal, and that's it. But also, I think, to be quite honest with you, theoretically, as a hypothesis, if we ended up with a Labour government, it's an indication that literally, in my view, none of them, if they got elected as a government, would ever, ever, ever be accountable for anything they did in any capacity whatsoever. And they would keep their positions no matter how good, bad or indifferent they are as elected representatives, or indeed, however bad a mistake they ever made. So, and it will be very much, I think, a dictatorial style government, much like the one we've got now. Hence, I've said a number of times, I don't think it's going to make any difference. But in terms of standards, to be quite honest with you, I think you can, in public life, by and large now, in certainly in politics especially, you can do what the hell you like and get away with it. And the other thing is, going back to our local elected representatives, I just think we've got a load of wishy-washies who sort of sit on the fence and do the nice little easy local stuff and stay away from the big national controversies by and large, and never really say anything outlandish or...
What you mean, like Lee Anderson?
Yeah, or basically to say anything questionable. In terms of what's going on in our country, by and large, on many issues. And the fact of the matter is, I think we've got quite weak leadership in terms of...
All around.
parliamentary representatives across Cheshire. I think it's easy to sit on the fence and do lots of local stuff like housing and other things and whatever. Seeing a statement by Justin Madders in the local press, an article there, and it's just the usual, to me, average political spiel about by-elections, never take them for granted, and various other things. Usual pre-election sort of political monotone spin, to be quite honest with you. I think we've got pretty much a lacking political gusto within Cheshire.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, we can't now solely blame the government. I know they're responsible for a lot of this, but there's been no opposition. And then, as I said before, soon the opposition will be the government and they'll have all these problems, so it'll be their fault. So Steve mentioned Justin Madders. Yes, he put something in the paper, totally avoided everything what's been going on, especially the extremist threat. So I thought, will this Labour government fix any of these problems? I mean, we know they won't, but I thought, well, I'll just look for some proof anyway. So I look at the voting records of our MPs, and the opposition are just as much to blame. I mean, if we want to change this system, like Trevor says, and get a more proportional system for voting, well, we've got no chance because Justin Madders has never voted on any of this at all. Whether he had a legitimate reason for not being there, okay. He seems to be a lot of the others, so we'll see. But it seems he's happy with this two-party conveyor belt of failure, so he's never going to fix anything with this. Yeah, he votes against even the government's weakest attempts at halting legal immigration, almost always voted against a stricter asylum system, almost always voted against stronger laws and enforcement of immigration rules. So he's not up for fixing this. But he's always there to vote about saving the climate, whatever the hell that means, just not his own country and constituents. Now, he's consistently voted against military action for bombing ISIS, believe it or not. So I'm going to presume he supports letting ISIS bride Shamima Begum back in like his boss does. So not only are we not going to attack the enemy, the king's enemy, the one he takes an oath to, we're going to let them come back after they've joined a terrorist organisation. Brilliant. So now him and his party leader, and his mates are scurrying and scheming, willing to break, as Lindsay Hoyle called it, archaic conventions or whatever lame excuse they used for either threatening the speaker or giving him the world's biggest sob story. So they are afraid, very afraid. Yet again, the coping mechanism of these cowards is to continually feed the crocodile in the hope it eats them last. As I said before, if they think this backlash is bad, wait till the natives are fed up.
Yeah, wait till the 83% react.
And stop attacking the people who've continually warned them about the thing they now fear so much. I mean, all three of our MPs voted against the Rwanda bill. I mean, that's a pathetic attempt to fix an immigration, but if they won't even attempt to fix the pathetic little measures the fake Conservatives are putting in, these people are just as accountable as the ones who've let this country go down the pan. And we'll give them a couple of years, and then it will apply to them. And these are the names that should go down in history as ruining this country and giving it away to total and utter nutters.
Go ahead, Steve.
I'd like to thank Mark, actually, because this is a classic example of what needs to now take place in this country in terms of exposing, quite rightly, quite legitimately, failure to tackle illegal immigration and the onslaught of people into this country. And if we've got an MP in Cheshire, such as Mr. Madders, that Mark has indicated has a record of voting against these kind of things and also failing to take action against ISIS. And this sort of attitude towards, actually, the people of this country. This really does expose, in my view, a very questionable Member of Parliament within the County of Cheshire. And this is actually quite shocking. This needs exposing at all levels right across our parliament as to who is voting like this. I actually think Mr. Madders should be taken to task on this. And this should be exposed.
There's no doubt that Justin will be taken to task. There is a certain point that you come to where you will be asked to pick a side. That's what happens.
Well, I agree, Jonathan. And the fact of the matter is this. I put it to people like Mr. Madders that
it's not just him in Cheshire. Check Samantha Dixon's voting record as well.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, this is the point I'm making here, because this is what we've been saying we should be doing. Now, the fact that Mark has highlighted here this evening, Mr. Madders' voting record, is only the start. Now, the fact is,
correct,
we've got a situation right now where we've spoken about this before. Each and every one of us now in this country, being the ages that we are, I'm not just talking about us up here on this podcast tonight. If we're in our late 40s, 50s and 60s, and we're looking down the line for the sake of our children and our grandchildren, each of us has a duty to protect our indigenous heritage and this country and everything that is that it is that we've discussed. The fact of the matter is, I think the likes of Mr. Mathers and many other people who are in Parliament who are operating the way they are and betraying this country and its people will have their consciences to sit with them for a very long time to come. I think they're a disgrace, to be quite honest with you. And going back to the issue that Mark mentioned about treason, effectively, if you're operating against your country's interests and the people of your country, then the issue of treason is a legitimate questioning process, isn't
it? And also, you got to actually state the fact that we have an absent leader in the king.
Correct, because he's meant to enforce this.
He's meant to enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I'm going to wrap that one up unless Trevor's got anything to say.
No, I just echo what Stats and Raven has said, basically.
Okay. Well,
it's not going to be sorted, but the politicians we've got at the minute, it's not going to be sorted. We've got to get rid of these Etonians, these Sir whatever. How can you have a Knight of the Realm running the Labour Party? Sorry, he'll get in. Labour will get in next time. And believe me, the knives, beware the Ides of March. That's all I can say. And April and June. Because I tell you, they're going to be after him. They want him out within a year. I'll tell you. I'll make a statement again tonight. Starmer will be out within a year. And they'll all be back in there again.
The far left communist mantra will enter Britain like never before.
Indeed.
Totally agree, Steve.
Indeed, indeed. Well, you know what time it is. Steve, we're not going to bother asking you for anything anymore because we know what the answer is. We have given up.
Well,
we're all going teetotal now because of you.
Yeah, because of you.
Yeah.
I'm glad because the jar for the bike fund is building generously.
Yes.
And
long may your wallet be shut and long live the moths. That's all I can say.
Yes, and to be quite honest with you, may my absence at the round purchasing scenario continue.
Well, it will do because we're not buying it. What would you like, Trev? Would you like a Peroni, sir?
A Peroni, please, sir. Yes,
yeah,
thank
Mark,
you.
What would you like?
Yeah, same, please.
Peroni, two Peronis. Three Peronis, please, barman.
Steve, he can get on his bike.
Yeah, get on your bike. The one you haven't even purchased yet.
Before I set off,
you're not being included. Shut up.
I will have a very nice whiskey, please.
No, you're getting nothing from us, kiddo.
He's actually saving up. He's not told you the reason he wants a bike, have you? He's saving up so he can be one of them Ubers.
Uber
you know,
bike?
When he delivers all food.
Oh, delivering the food.
Yeah, that's what he wants his bike for.
Mike, I tell you what, that food's going to wind up cold in
his
delivery.
So he can put his little box on.
It won't wind up cold at all.
It will. It will wind up cold on delivery. Don't get a pizza off this guy, I'm telling you now.
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't understand this concept of having a pizza delivered on a bike in a big square box, which is swinging about all over the place on somebody's back while they're riding it there, because A, it's going to be cold when it gets there, in my view, and B, what sort of state is that pizza going to be in when it's been delivered on the back of a bike? I don't get this at all.
Uber, Ale.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to order one from the top of Helsby Hill, make him ride all the way up.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, shout downs. Who wants to go first? I see the excitement coming from the gazelle's face. Go on, Gaz.
Oh, I've got a few tonight, telling you. As I said earlier on, I had to go to the doctors today, and you being a classical pianist.
Indeed.
I think you will. You
Thank
will.
You. I heard that. I heard the way you pronounced that. Pianist.
What?
Psst.
thought it was a classical penis.
Penis.
sorry, sir. Do apologise. And you will appreciate this, because he has got a dosage today, and having stripped off, he immediately mentioned the fact that my doo-doo was perfectly shaped like a saxophone.
It's a problem.
I explained it was a family trait and that we all had doo-doos shaped like musical instruments.
Oh, yes.
He was amazed, and he said, well, in 20 years as a GP, I've never seen anything like this. Now, having said that, I do remember a woman coming in a few years ago, and her doo-doo was shaped like a mouth organ. I said, oh, that was our Monica. Oh, anyway.
That is...
Quickly on.
That's a good one, that.
Quickly on, I bought a porn DV today, and all I could see was a dark image of a fat guy holding his dung. And then I realised I hadn't turned the TV on. Now, and just to finish off, which is a cleaner one tonight, for sale, a 90s iconic Sooty and Sweet puppets. Any offer would be accepted. I just want them off my hands.
Let's get busy. There you go. Okay, Statsman, go ahead.
No, I can't top that. We're going to have to be angry, Stats, again. It's got to be Sadiq Khan, shout down again. What is he playing at with it? He's got a whitewashing video out this week. Look over there. Don't look over there. London's fine. Happy days. Apparently, diversity is our greatest strength. It really looks like it at the minute, doesn't it?
Yeah, right.
I'll go through a couple of things in the video. London is for everyone. Well, unless you're Jewish or waving an England flag, of course. Different communities contribute to the spirit and soul. Yeah, these jihadis and pro-Palestine mob are recreating the spirit of 1930s Germany perfectly. Well done. He goes on about
sharing. Can we bring the IDF in to deal with them and get rid of the Met?
Do the job. He goes on about shared values, which must be new values of violence, intimidation, and brain dead woke ideology. It can't be English values because there was no sign of any flags or union flags or anything in them videos. So, Sadiq, keep on pretending everything's fine in your multicultural cesspit. But the sheer fact he's turned off the comments and the fact that I actually witnessed reality tells me he's a lying snake. He seems to be just trying to convince himself everything's fine because no one else believes his bullcrap, do they? Let's face it.
No, with knife crime on the rise, quite literally on the rise, it isn't safe out there, I'm telling you. Go ahead, Steve.
Who's he lying to, John? It's got to be himself because nobody else
believes him.
Not even the people who vote for him. There's only one reason they vote for him, and it's not because he's good at anything.
No.
Yeah, but he's by job description. He's a police and crime commissioner, isn't he?
Oh, forget that.
He just blames the police.
Forget that. He just blames the police for all the bad decisions.
Always the victim. It's never his fault.
No, of course. Go ahead, Steve.
I know something like that, and I'm a top fan.
Right, for the third time.
Sorry, go on, Steve.
For the third time.
Mine is straightforward, actually, and I'm going to call
it. How long do you need? Has anybody got an hour? Anybody got an hour? Right, did you get with this? Right. Go on.
Mine is straightforward this week, and it's a complete shameful disgrace and disappointment to every single failing, betraying member of parliament in this country who is failing to stand up for this country and our children and our grandchildren for the future.
Okay, quick comment there from Trevor. Go ahead, Gaz.
It will be a quick comment, sir. And as you know, I am standing for Reform UK.
Whoa! We didn't know that.
In Warrington North. And basically, I can assure you, as I'm sat here now, that when I get voted into Parliament, I will be kicking some butt.
But.
All of them.
All of them. And that out. Will... Things will start to change.
So we have our gazelle as the new Cromwell. Well done.
I am the new Cromwell. I am the new Churchill.
Okay, we can see that. The two fingers are coming up. Right. Okay, well, as far as I'm concerned, thank God that's all over. I totally agree with everybody's points that are being made. We are not being served well at all by the leadership of this country. It is what we would call piss poor. And at the moment, that would be very, very hot piss.
I think it's actually very, very seriously concerning, to be quite honest with you,
indeed,
given where this country is now at.
Indeed.
I'm not in a very jokey mood about all this.
Well, that's okay. We're saying goodbye, and we agree.
I'm quite angry, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it's been quite a bit of a solemn podcast tonight.
Yep.
And if just again, I'm just pitching some airtime tonight, but I rang Talk TV again the other night. And as I rang, this was when the lady was on late at night on about a certain subject, and I rang, and they answered. They said, "Hello, Trevor. What are you wishing to discuss?" And I nearly fell off the chair.
Really?
They honestly, this is the second time I rang. The first time I said, you know, I am the candidate for Warrington, and I didn't get on because they wouldn't obviously allow a candidate on that particular subject. And I rang on Saturday night, and this lady picked up the phone and said, "Hello, Trevor, what would you like to discuss tonight?" And they fell off my chair. So I am now logged into Talk Sports at Talk TV's
telephone system. Well, all right, okay. Talk TV, say goodnight, sir, or goodbye, or whatever.
Good night, everybody, and I hope you've enjoyed the cast tonight as we try our best, as always.
Mark, go ahead.
Well, big thank you and farewell to all our lovely listeners. And, of course, you fine patriots and all the patriots out there fighting back in this total and utter disaster.
Indeed, indeed. Stevie!
What?
Okay, that's fine. That's all right. That's okay. You don't have to say anything else. All right, that's it. And it's good night from me. Goodbye. Good night. Sayonara.
One second.
There's no second about it. You finished. You did what you did.
I'm going to say goodbye to all our lovely listeners and wish you all well for the forthcoming week. Hope you survive. Hope you've got some plans for the future and start to tackle our absolutely useless members of parliament across the country failing our nation.
Here.
Yeah. Silence is golden. God, I'm glad they've all gone away, ladies and gentlemen.